Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Welcome back to the Drive, 4 o'clock hour. Josh Fernier comes your way with Burns on Deck show at 5 o'clock. Royals in Baltimore tonight for 3. Michael Wacha on the mound. The Royals have won 9 of their last 10 games. They'll come back home and have the White Sox at the Cave for 4. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton, Carrington Harrison all dudded up at Churchill Downs going to Kentucky Derby. Crossing that off his list this weekend. Also, you got Cody and Gold, the road trip down to Springfield to watch Keglione. And Carter Jensen, Park Hill, go see some local kids too. See Northwest Arkansas Naturals. They wanted 150 originally. They've got over 215 now. I think they're like 220 now as far as tickets and t-shirt to go down and watch that game. It's incredible how many people want to go down and watch it. And I think it's awesome. People go down there, have some beers, some hot dogs, enjoy minor league baseball in Springfield, which is a great town. So hopefully they'll have a lot of fun down there. Rob, we talked about briefly your opinions on City Connects and Major League Baseball, home run or not, should they do them or not? I know they're selling some, they're making some money. Yay or nay?
I mean, I'm generally a yay. I mean, I think it's a case-by-case basis, but generally speaking, like I like the Padres ones, I like the Royals ones, I would say the majority of them I'm a fan of, so I would be a yay.
So you actually like the Padres ones?
Yes, the Padres ones.
I put them at the bottom of the list.
Oh, the Blink-182 ones are so good.
Yeah,
the bottom of the list is Detroit. Detroit's is the bottom of the list. I forget what it says across the front, but it's they wore against the Royals on Friday night that one series in Detroit. It's bad. That's the worst one.
It says Southside on the White Sox at this point. We'll get to them in a second. In Seattle, it's the black pants, the blue jersey. I actually think it's pretty neat. By the way, the Royals are having a future night, back to the future night with Seattle again. This is the only team they've ever done. I remember the futuristic jerseys, the Royals wore. They'll be doing that later this summer in Seattle. They choose the Mariners to do that with, and they both do it. Ken Griffey's always been part of it with his jerseys. Royals are keeping the same futuristic jerseys, so we'll see how that goes later this season. But on Friday nights, ever since they won the World Series, the next couple years after that, they wore the gold on Friday night. Because typically, teams that win the World Series, they're all gold on Friday night the next year. Like the Dodgers this year, Friday night at home games, they'll wear gold. Because that. Then the City Connects start to come out. I like the Royals the best, not just because I'm in Kansas City. I think the City Connects are actually really, really cool that they wear. And some teams, they're terrible. They try too hard. The try too hard hats on from Nike, trying to make these jerseys connect with the city. Don't buy it. Pittsburgh with the PGH, not buying it. New York Mets that are kind of a gray-purple combo. Named George Washington Bridge, I think, on it. Not a fan of the bridge on the helmet. Doesn't look good. Don't like it. City Connect, Kansas City, 100% for. Now, Chicago this year, they will be, I don't know when they're doing it, Rob, but they are doing the Bulls throwback. It'll still say Chicago, but it'll be blue, the Bulls, black and red, signifying Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. Yay or nay on that?
I don't like that.
Yeah, because they suck. I mean, that's a bad tribute to the Bulls that were good.
I think mostly because I don't like when jerseys have opposing teams' color scheme. Like one of the reasons I like the Padres one is there's no team in the NL West like pink and lime green and it and that color scheme. It's unique to them, the Padres. But like red and black is, I mean, that's the Guardians color scheme basically. I mean, that's a portion of the Twins color scheme. The fact that the Bulls jersey is basically a White Sox version, a White Sox jersey with opposing team colors on it is goofy to me. It's not the actual honoring the Bulls. I don't like when you get weird with, you know, mixing and matching. Like KU would never have a purple jersey just for the sake of it. K-State would never have like, oh, we're going to bring some red out. I think it's dumb. Iowa State has an all black jersey. Like that's your rival's color. Why are you doing that?
And the one thing is too, with the Royals, it looks good. Because Saturday they made the decision. Saturday home games will be powder blue pants, powder blue top, and the batting practice hat, which is the white hat, Royals crown on it, and the light blue back. That's their batting practice hat, but they're also wearing that on Saturdays. And every once in a while they will wear that on the road. They've done it before. They wore it in Milwaukee on their opening day. I think they wear it just if it's a special occasion. Then normally they'll wear the gray jerseys, say Kansas City across, which, by the way, is a very good look. And then they'll have the all-blue one that they'll sometimes wear on Sunday on the road or when it's a day game on the road. But for the most part, they're pretty consistent, but they don't wear the home ones very often when you get the City Connects on Friday and then the Powder Blues on Saturday. So Monday through Thursday, better hope a home game, they'll wear the white for the Royals, the traditional white that is so iconic in this city. But the Bulls wins, here's the thing. If you're going to do that, have the Cubs wear them. At least have a good team wearing them. Because it's almost comical to have the White Sox wearing anything Chicago Bulls. Sorry, if they suck as bad as they do, they shouldn't have anything to do with the Chicago Bulls. That's just my opinion. Well, Rob forwarded me this from the NFL. Uniswag put this out on X. The NFL is introducing, quote, rivalries uniforms. Its own take on City Edition, City Connect designs, because Nike does Major League uniforms as well. It says the NFL is launching its biggest uniform update since Color Rush with the new rivalries program. Debuting in 2025, inspired by each team's local community, the Nike-led concept will roll out over 4 years, similar to MLB and NBA's alternate uniform series. So it is not the AFC West this year. It is not the AFC West. You will not be seeing that this year. That'll be in the future. Now, they're calling it rivalries, and I don't know if that's just a cute name, but they did kind of have the rivalries. For instance, they had the Bills and the Dolphins called them the rivals. So would they have like a Chiefs-Raiders, some kind of combo? I hope not. But a City Connect for the Chiefs? Like, what would you put on that? I mean, I'm curious. I've seen some AI designs from it, like what you do as far as, like, you're not doing Royals theme, I don't think, on Chiefs jerseys. I don't think you're going the blue and white for them. But City Connect for Kansas City, what was a bunch of fountains? I mean, the barbecue's played out, man. You can't be doing that. And don't dare put the Yellow Brick Road on it because they play in Missouri. I don't know. For now.
When these
come out, they'll be still Missouri.
Probably. Because it's a four year swing. It starts in 25, so 25, 26, 27, 28. That's one of the windows. I don't know, man. I'm terrified that they're going to screw this up. Because what is the thing synonymous with Kansas City? Other than barbecue, which you really can't build into a jersey concept, it's fountains.
Yeah,
fountains are inherently not a red or gold item. They're blue. And I do not want the Chiefs wearing a special blue jersey. So I'm fearful of what this will be because they are connected to the community the team is in.
You get the Skyline or Union Station.
Maybe, but there are teams in the NBA that do that. Like the Warriors have the city. Cleveland has the land. So maybe that's the way they do it. But I think there's a non-zero chance whatever this Nike thing is for whatever year the Chiefs get. And this year it's going to be the AFC East and the NFC West. So we'll have a chance to kind of see some of the concepts of the upcoming season. I think there's a chance they screw this thing up, and there's a game where the Chiefs are wearing goofy-looking jerseys that Nike inspired because it's not like Nike bats 1,000. Nike does a really good job, but they were also the people that gave us the Color Rush and all sorts of bad stuff.
Well, and those horrible uniforms in baseball where people could see through the pants. That was bad.
Remember those combat jerseys that the college football used to wear where Mizzou wore like gray for a while? That anthracite, I think, was the term they used. Like, I'm leery of the community-inspired Chiefs jersey being looking good. Because when I think of the community, the thing that connects to a jersey is similar to what the Royals do with fountains.
Which, by the way, they hit a home run with that.
Perfect. I mean, but it fits their color scheme. It's not going to work that way for the Chiefs. Like, there's no such, I mean, I know they dyed the fountains red, but no one is synonymous with red and fountains.
No, it is concerning. But the 2025 season, the first batch of teams that'll get these are AFC East and NFC West, like you said. Bills, Dolphins, Patriots, Jets, Seahawks, Cards, Rams, and 49ers will have the, quote, rivalries jerseys in 2025. I'm assuming just one game.
Now, I imagine similar to the Color Rush.
Like, I'm assuming they'd want a primetime game for it.
Maybe this is what they'll do when they start playing. Everyone has an international game.
In 2026, the AFC South and NFC North will debut their threads. The NFC East and the AFC West will follow in 2027.
So in 2 years.
So you've got the 25 season, then the 26 season, and then boom, the Kansas City Chiefs in 2027. The AFC North and NFC South will round it out in 2028. They'll wear those. I'm just curious what the Chiefs would look like. I mean, you got to keep the color. There's only a few things you can do, man. Hey, I'm all for the Chiefs wearing black matted helmets or whatever. I loved when they wore the Dallas Texans. As I was actually good with that. But I do like their color scheme being simple. Do you have a favorite combination they wear, Rob?
All white.
You like the all white?
The all white's the best look they have.
I would agree with that. But it's great when you're playing outdoors in it.
If I was
and you're getting grassy and everything else, grass stains, that's the good white and white.
If I were to rank the Chiefs' looks, number one is white on white. Number two is red on white. Number three is white on red. And number four is the Chiefs don't play that week. And then number five is the red on red.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the red on red. I did like the gray face mask, though. Did you like that?
Oh, for the Vikings game?
I thought that was a good look.
Very subtle, but I liked it.
I liked it, too. But I am curious what they're going to do. What would you do? I mean, obviously, I guess you can put barbecue on there if you want. I don't know where you'd put it. Maybe a patch on the side or something. I just don't see how you can do City Connects.
Someone on the text line has a really good idea. So
what's that?
The Nuggets City Connect, that's basketball, says 5280 for the elevation. You could do something with 142 right. decibels. There's something to be done there. There or like an 816-913 crossover. There's some. You got to think off the wall. I don't think you can take the layup, but it's possible to do something unique. But I do have concerns about them nailing this look in 27.
Did you see the Rockies actually went with two City Connects for that bad baseball team? They had the one that was green and white. It said Colorado across the front. They've switched it now, and they have the purple and blue. So it's a weird look. The green and white, I just haven't been a fan of it. They've actually switched their City Connects, which is weird. But for the White Sox to wear the Bulls, that's not cool. Would you want to see the Royals wearing Chiefs colors?
No.
No. I don't think you would. But would the Chiefs wear Royals colors? No, I don't think so. Will they put barbecue on it? I hope not. Fountains, again, where? Skyline, you could maybe do on the back of the helmet, I guess. Not a fan of that. Just like that stupid-looking bridge on the Mets helmets. I don't know. I don't know what you can really do with the Chiefs. It's kind of cool how they are what they are. Although, I would definitely go with the black jersey and black matted helmet. But they don't want to do that, so that's cool. Just keep the same colors. Because there was something to be said. But Notre Dame has changed all the time now. They're willing to change all the time. Penn State, like, I love those uniforms, home and road, you know who they are. Alabama, same numbers on the side of the helmet, love that. Nebraska's even changed as well, and I just like the traditional Nebraska uniform. I think there's something about that. So anyway, coming up next, though, rookie pressure. I already talked to Briscoe a little bit about this as far as Jalen Royals. Will there be any pressure on him at all? I think there will be some rookie pressure with this team. That's next.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck?
Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan, Jay Binkley, Rob Britton. Carrington Harrison enjoying his time at Churchill Downs. Going to watch the Kentucky Derby tomorrow. He's there for the prelims today. By the way, the jersey numbers are out now for the Chiefs draft class, so you can head on there and get your jerseys if that's what you want to do. Josh Simmons, number one pick, will wear 71. Omar Norman-Lott will wear 55. Ashton Gelate will wear number 97. Noah Williams will wear number 20. Jalen Royals, number 11. I know people were talking, will he rock 85 for 85 world champions? Obviously, you can't do 15 because that's Mahomes. Jeffrey Bossom will wear number 31. And Burchard Smith will wear number 30 for the Kansas City Chiefs. Also from the text line, somebody thought City Connects maybe put the saxophones on it. Give a shout out to the Negro League Museum. I think saxophones, it would be weird seeing Mahomes throwing a football with saxophones on his jersey. But, you know, I guess Kansas City would be jazz, barbecue, and fountains if that's the way you want to go. But I don't know if the Chiefs will go that direction. But the rookie class is in for the Chiefs. And some people ask me, all right, who's got more pressure on them? I asked Briscoe, all right, as far as pressure. I mean, you would think some of these guys are going to be rotational. The one real starter that I think can really push for a starting job in St. Joe is Noah Williams, the cornerback out of Cal. He can actually push for that starting role. Maybe Ashton Gelate, if he goes out and has a huge, huge camp. Maybe I could see more of a rotation basis with him, even though he can play three downs. Omar Norman-Lott, the defensive tackle out of Tennessee, they got in the second round. Could see more rotation with him. And Jalen Royals, going to be fighting for time with Juju Smith. Schuster, I would go Jalen Royals, to be honest with you. Not huge on Juju. Yes, he came back with the Chiefs. Didn't work out in New England. I get that. He put up big numbers, but it was often when there wasn't anybody covering him because they had other people to cover. So hopefully Jalen Royals will push Juju for that spot. But it leads me to believe what kind of pressure will these guys have. Bossa, no pressure, because eventually I think he'll take over for Tranquil in that role. They got him for a while, so he'll be good. Got him for 4 years, not the fifth-year deal like you have with people in the first round. But regardless, Burchard Smith, the running back at SMU, I believe will be on a rotation basis for the Chiefs. Use him in different packages, that's fine. But as far as pressure on this team, yeah, Jalen Royals, the wide receiver, I just don't see it. Like, I've seen other pressure in the past. I think there was some pressure on Sky Moore, being that guy when the Chiefs were taking one dart at wide receivers. Yes, they just took one here on Jalen Royals, but Sky didn't live up to expectations. And then there was Rashee Rice. So you take one dot. I remember Rashee Rice was drafted. It was that Friday night in Kansas City. It was Rice and Wynnee Morris. That was it. That was 8 out of 10 picks were all on defense, and they were the only two on offense. And I thought there was some pressure on Rice to deliver. He did deliver. Second in catches of all rookie wide receivers that year, only behind Puka in yards and receptions. I thought he delivered. Now, this past year, Xavier Worthy, thinking, all right, there's not much pressure on you. You are a first-round pick, and there is pressure that comes with the first-round pick because the Chiefs had other choices, but they went Xavier Worthy. Could have gone several directions. They didn't. They went with Xavier, who's undersized, did run a 4.21, but I'll say this. Don't look at just the combine for this dude. Dude's a cerebral guy. You understand why they picked him, a former, you know, academic, all Big 12 guy. He did lead Texas in yards and receptions for 3 years. two of the 3 years he led him in touchdowns. So the guy is more than just a trick down the field, you know, nine route type of guy. He's much more than that. But the pressure did come on him. When all of a sudden Rashee Rice gets hurt in the Chargers game early on in the season, when Hollywood Brown's hurt in the first preseason game against Jacksonville, all of a sudden it's like, okay, rookie, you got to step up now for the Chiefs. You got to be that weapon for Patrick Mahomes. You don't want to waste a good year of him. And they won 15 games, ended up going to the Super Bowl, and he got better and better as the year progressed. Remember early in the season, the spacing, you know, as far as getting the ball on the sidelines, maybe not up to par at that point, but he got better and better, led this team in yards and receptions in the postseason from the wide receiver position, and, of course, the Super Bowl as well, as far as with the Chiefs. So Jalen Royals, not as much pressure because you do have three guys ahead of him. Maybe Juju would be ahead of him, too, at this point. We'll see what happens in camp, but I'm expecting good things out of Jalen Royals. But you look at this team, and I think Josh Simmons, the first pick, has got the pressure. Now, it depends on how you want to look at it. You look at it as a value pick for the Chiefs. The fact that, well, he may not be ready this year. You're not going to see him in the OTAs. Not going to see him in rookie minicamp. His agent says he should be ready by training camp. We'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, I'm waiting for the press release that says, we're going to wait and hold him out for a couple more weeks, see how he's going. He's got that patellar knee injury, which is difficult. Teams really haven't seen a lot of that in the NFL. ACLs, they know how to fix. It's not an ACL. Patellar tendon, much different. So we'll see how that progresses. But I do think there's pressure there being a blindside protector for Patrick Mahomes. I think left tackle is one of the key positions. Left tackle, edge, shutdown corner, wide receiver, those are number one wide receiver. Those are the four top positions outside of quarterback to me, but there is some pressure on that. So when healthy, I do believe Josh Simmons will have pressure. Not only being a blindside protector of Patrick Mahomes, you know, a three-time Super Bowl MVP, a guy that's either been in the Super Bowl AFC title game every year of his career, you have some pressure. That's natural pressure you have on, especially when you're huddle with guys like Creed Humphrey, top paid in his position, Trey Smith, that's going to be the top paid in his position, and then Kelsey's in that huddle. You know, there's some Hall of Famers in that huddle, in the Mahomes. So there's some pressure that comes with that, but the pressure to succeed, the pressure not anybody come around. Josh Simmons, yes, that was left tackle one before the injury. Clearly would have been the first left tackle. It's a value pick for the Chiefs where he is. But when he's fully healthy, there's no other way to look at there's going to be pressure on Josh Simmons. In the Super Bowl, the Chiefs have had a rotating group each Super Bowl that they've been in as far as left tackle. But yes, Josh Simmons will have that pressure on him as far as rookies are concerned. And yeah, I'm going into it with the mindset, well, he may or may not be ready this season. Okay. I didn't think the Chiefs were in a position to redshirt anybody, to be honest with you. I mean, if you watch that Super Bowl, you understand this left side of this line is downgraded. There's no other way to look at it. Joe Tooney's gone. That was the best left guard in football. Didn't work out as far as tackles concerned when it came to the Super Bowl. He's got shorter arms, but the left side of the line is questionable. So Josh Simmons would be the easy answer for most pressure. I just don't see a ton of pressure on any of these other rookies. I just don't see a ton of pressure for any of these guys to perform. They're actually in a really good spot, to be honest with you.
I mean, I think in a weird way, a positive way for the Chiefs, I don't think any rookie carries a lot of pressure on this team. And it's kind of something we talked about on the show, the fact that they went into the draft, they had needs, and you would have liked to walk away with day one starters. But if they didn't, they were in an okay spot. They have Jalen Morris, our left tackle, so there's very little pressure on.
As long as they're healthy, we're good. You're healthy, you're good.
Obviously, can never health changes everything, but yep. You can't, you know, prepare. You can be prepared for health, but you can't, you know, worry about health. If that makes sense. I don't know they have a single starter right now from the draft class. And if you don't have any starters, you don't have anyone carrying any pressure at all. It's a lot of redshirt and learn. Like, Breshad Smith might be running back number four. Jalen Royals might be wide receiver number five. Like, Noel Williams, who me and you both really like, is cornerback number four. I mean, Omar Norman Lott's the guy that I think is the closest to being a full-time starter. I also think he's the most likely to bust out, but that's not, like, be a bust.
He'll be a rotational piece, I think.
But even then, that's not, like, a true starter. So the Chiefs have a rookie class that I think can kind of walk in and learn. They don't have any pressure to succeed where there is a glaring need. Hey, we need you to come in and do this. Like there was with Rashee Rice, or there was a lot with Sky Moore. We need you to come and hit the ground running. I don't think they need any of these guys to hit the ground running. They'd like them to, and if they bump someone out of their job, party on Wayne. Like, if Noel Williams makes Jalen Watson the nickelback, I don't think Chiefs fans are going to be upset by that development, but I don't think they have to have Noel Williams starting on week one. I don't think there's much pressure on any of these rookies.
No, there's not. There is pressure, I would say, on Jalen Moore. He comes in as a free agent, obviously. You know, he's picked in the fifth round. He played with Sky Moore at Western Michigan. There'll be some pressure there because he's got Josh Simmons looking over his shoulders. So is Joan Taylor, to be honest with you, because Josh Simmons has played right tackle. And there's, like, Alt. John Alt from the Chargers was left tackle at Notre Dame, plays right tackle, very good right tackle for the Chargers. You understand why he's a first-round pick. But, yeah, Juwan, you got to look around if Simmons is ready. Because he does have right tackle experience when he's at San Diego State, and clearly you don't want to make a right tackle your selection at the end of the first, but there is a lot of right tackles taken at that point because the good left tackles go a lot earlier. I think when healthy, Simmons will have that pressure because he's got to be. He's that guy. He's the guy they said, okay, you're the answer we're drafting to put on this offensive line. I mean, you have other guys on the line that are all pros and pro bowlers and Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. There's naturally going to be, you know, some pressure that comes with that. You have a head coach that cut his teeth as an offensive line coach, Andy Reid. Andy Hex here, there's a tradition here to pull to Kansas City. But if you watch the Super Bowl, you understand they've got some problems as far as tackle's concerned. I think Josh Simmons will have pressure to show up because I think if he doesn't play, and granted, you got to take that as the expectation. Maybe he plays, maybe he doesn't. But I will think there will be some in the camp if he doesn't play like, oh, man, here we go again, wasted pick. I hope that's not the attitude because, again, I think he'll be with them in the future. Now, you hope he pans out. There's a lot of expectations, I do believe, on Josh Simmons because they could have gotten a lot of different ways. And trust me, people are going to be watching what Ursary does in Houston because he's a left tackle out of Kansas City, Ruskin High School. Luther Burden in Chicago, I think people will be watching him because Luther Burden was available for the Chiefs to draft in the spot where Josh Simmons was taken. So, yeah, there's going to be other players people look at. But Josh Simmons is a need. It was kind of an easy need for people to pick left tackle for position. But outside of him, there really wasn't left tackle to grab for the Chiefs because they took a chance on him. It's not 100% guaranteed he's going to be ready to go in training camp. You would hope he is. You would hope he progresses. But right now he's, what, squatting 225, can do much more than that. But he's kind of acclimating himself back into lifting weights, but I did find that is interesting. Also, I saw NFL.com, and I guess this is good for the Chiefs that they weren't on this list, but they put top spots for Amari Cooper, where he could end up. And you would think the easy one to be would throw the Chiefs. So maybe it's cool the Chiefs like aren't looked upon this way. Dallas Cowboys were on here, Arizona Cardinals, the Saints, the Eagles, the Raiders, the Jets, and Bills for spots maybe for Amari Cooper, but not the Chiefs. I don't think the Chiefs would go that direction. They had their chances. Didn't see Amari Cooper being a fit in Kansas City, but it's good not seeing Kansas City on this list. But does that mean they're set? There's a lot of people think they're set at wide receiver. I'm not one of them. I wanted to see him get two receivers in this draft. Load up Patrick Mahomes. He's your best commodity. There's nobody on this football team like him. We didn't have a quarterback. Yeah, we had Alex Smith and Trent Green and all these guys, blah, 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 you know, since Bill Kenny, you name it, since Lynn Dawson, but a whole lot of what-ifs since Lynn Dawson, Hall of Famer Lynn Dawson, went many years without one. Yeah, Alex Smith got you so far, but Patrick Mahomes kicked the door in, man. You have Super Bowl parties to watch Chiefs now because of that dude. Doesn't matter who you have on offense, that dude gets the job done. So I'm in the camp of giving him weapons. You're never going to have a quarterback like this again. Keep feeding the beast. Give him weapons. If you want to say Josh Simmons is a weapon, so be it. He better be healthy. But Jalen Royals in the fourth round, okay. But I want to see Mahomes get weapon after weapon. And would I have liked the best slot receiver in the draft in Luther Burden? Yeah. I would have liked that fit for Patrick Mahomes. You better hope Hollywood Brown stays healthy. You better hope Rashee Rice stays healthy. And again, they look good on paper. Chiefs receivers look good on paper. They did last year, too. Oh, then all of a sudden, Hollywood Brown's gone for basically the season. Did come back and have nine catches at the end. But the first play of that Jacksonville game that he got, the ball, done. Rashee Rice gets hurt in a fluke deal against the Chargers. gone for the year. Now, he's coming back from an injury. Don't forget that. Plus, there's a suspension that could be looming for Rashee Rice. So it is going to give other opportunities to other wide receivers. That's just the way it is. So then you better hope Worthy stays healthy. And he has been for most of his career. He's in Texas, he was healthy. He's been healthy here, but he is undersized in the NFL. You never know. I'm saying you never know with injuries. But can you deal with your 1 and 2 out like they did last year? It shows the power of the quarterback and what he has. But I got tired of one-score games. Yeah, they want them, but get tired of them. Want to see them put a team away. Don't want to sweat out the end of the game. Just put a team away. They have the ability to do it. Last year in St. Joe, it was bombs away, man. It was the X videos of Worthy, of Hollywood Brown catching these bombs, Rashee Rice doing the dirty work, catching these long passes, yards after catch for the Chiefs, and then they were forced to be a different team, which credit Andy Reid and company for being a different team when the season began and being the team that you had to be, which they did. They did to a tune of 15 wins, and they got to the Super Bowl, ran out of power there against the Eagles in the end in the Super Bowl. But I'm for adding wide receivers. Yeah, you can look at them on paper and say, ah, oh, they're good 1 through 3. Are they? Can you withstand injuries? I mean, you don't have Justin Watson, who wasn't that good. He's with the Texans now to throw in at the end. You get to count on another rookie in Jalen Royals. The other injuries say, rookie, step up. Who did leave last season, didn't come back with the injury at Utah State. There's a lot hinging upon the health of Rashee Rice. A lot hinging on the health of Hollywood Brown. Can they facilitate? Can they be the guys to get the job done? Because if you're wanting to put all the pressure on Patrick Mahomes, he's dealt with that before and he's done with it. Dealt with it, but he's 29 years old. I just keep giving the dude weapons, man. Having weapons is not a bad thing. Tom Brady in his career, yeah, he never won a ring with Randy Moss, but they brought Randy Moss in, had some great years. Took some pressure off Tom Brady. You have good receivers to throw to. Peyton Manning always had Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison and Indy. Oh, and Dallas Clark as well. Oh, and Brandon Stokely as well. Then when he went to Denver, had good receivers. Then he had a great defense when they won their last Super Bowl with Manning. But I'm for just adding different wide receivers. I'm not, I guess, 100% sold on the wide receiver group as it is. On paper, they look good. But you know what? This game's not played on paper, Rob. Did we expect Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice to get hurt? No, we didn't. But they did. That's the NFL.
I mean, I think you can... It's safe to assume at one point this season that Hollywood Brown will be hurt. His football reference card tells you he's maybe not the freak accident injury he had last year. But
he's always missing games.
He's not a 17-game a guy season. No. So when you say, did we bet on that? No. No one anticipated the injury he had. But I think going into any season saying Hollywood Brown, let's pencil him in for 17 games is a foolish errand because he's done that, once in his NFL career? He's a guy who has battled injury his entire NFL career. So I think it's fair to say, yeah, we didn't bet on it, but we also kind of anticipated it.
It depends on what you want to look at. His rookie year, he started 11 games. Next year, started in 14. The following year, 16, then 10, then 14, then 1. So the track record is Hollywood Brown doesn't play a full season. So you have to count on that, and you have to bank on that, and you have to write that down. And then you're hoping Xavier Worthy doesn't get hurt. And then you're hoping that Rashee Rice doesn't have another freak injury like he did. Freak injuries can happen. And he's got to come back from that still. We still need to see it. And then, of course, there's a suspension coming up as well. So, yeah, it's great they got in Jalen Royals. Would like to see them get another receiver as well because you can never have enough. Because if your weapon is Patrick Mahomes, you probably don't need to draft as much defense. You probably keep supplying the beast. Give the beast some more weapons. See what the NFL has to deal with if they have Patrick Mahomes going out there each and every day when he's got viable talent around him. Sure, on paper, it all looks good. But the NFL's not played on paper. Guys get hurt, and they got hurt here last year. Able to get through it because you have Patrick Mahomes. You put all that pressure on his plate. Hey, go out and get the job done. You're Patrick Mahomes. I felt Josh Allen did a great job at this last year in Buffalo. That's why I won MVP. There's not a ton of talent at wide receiver with Buffalo. They lose Diggs. They were fine. Clear, secure. Got the job done. Buffalo found a way to get it done. But there's not a ton of great receivers in Buffalo. And don't let their GM hear me because he'll probably call in because he called in Buffalo when they were complaining about their wide receivers, which is a joke because that's the way it is. And it is going to come back to bite them at some point. We come back, though. Again, shorter show today because Josh Vernier takes over at 5 o'clock. Royals in Baltimore tonight. Michael Wacha on the mound. Royals in Baltimore for three before coming home and playing the White Sox. Coming up next, though, we play the hits.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
And welcome back to 96.5 The Fan, home of the Kansas City Royals and Kansas City Chiefs. Michael Wacha tonight, Chris Bubich on Saturday. Looks like Michael Lorenzen on Sunday. Possibly Cole Reagans that you heard there on Monday. By the way, Kyle Gibson going for the Orioles on Sunday. Him and his 2209 ERA in limited action. It's weird thinking Kyle Gibson still in the league, but Josh Vernier comes your way in about 13 minutes with the On Deck show. For now, we play the hits.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Well, Bank is always the hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, it wouldn't be a show with me and you, Bank, if we didn't talk a little draft. And you noticed something the Chiefs pro personnel director Ryan Nutt had to say when evaluating the draft and how the ever-changing landscape of college football has made this a tough year to evaluate talent.
These kids do not stay at one college to develop. They're constantly transferring, right? Because of the idea of, okay, first off, that might be more of an issue with the transfer portal than NIL itself. I'm all for players getting paid. It's when they transfer three times in 1 year. When are you getting developed? If you're always in the transfer portal or you're off the field or you're not in a building, that's the thing. So now you're going to get players who are going to come in and they're just less developed based on they're not staying at a program. They're not getting a year's worth of training. They're getting maybe 3-4 months of strength training because they're in the portal or they're gone or they're taking trips. But they're learning different offenses, different coaches. So they're not getting in rhythm there. I think that's the biggest difference. And then for scouting, like, how do you get a good snapshot of a player's personal background and character when they've been at 3 or 4 different schools? You're going to hear a different report from like half the time. They're all going to be different. The last school to have them, it's going to be usually positive because they want their guy drafted and they're going to give you good stuff. And then you might go to the school that he just left from, who's angry he left and transferred out, and it might be different. So now you got to kind of piece it together and say what's real and what isn't real. For us right now, it's just development and what kind of kid are you actually getting? Which version of this kid are you going to get?
Bink, we now have the information. It takes longer and there's more evaluation process in the ever-changing college football market. But do you think this could be a good thing as players have played more football, or do we lead ourselves to find more busts in the NFL draft because the evaluation process is much, much more difficult?
I think it could lead to more bust. It's a lot more work. These front offices, well, they get paid to do it. They just have a lot more work because he's right. When you hit transfer portal 2 and 3 times, all of a sudden you go back to those previous schools. You think, all right, tell me about this guy. Well, they may not give you a glowing recommendation because said player did leave. So the chances are they're not going to say anything great. It's kind of like when you see 3- and 4-star guys, you know, decommit from a university. The only thing their fan base is, oh, they sucked anyway. We didn't want them. That's not true. You did want them, and you hate to see them leave. Like all those Tennessee fans that don't want to see Nico leave. They're like, oh, he didn't want to be here. He wants to leave. Well, they wasn't even there. But Ryan Nutt made some interesting points. He, by the way, is the Chiefs Director of Player Personnel and College Scouting, which, by the way, had a right behind him on a Zoom. He had the state of Ohio on the wall, like Ohio State type thing, if you wonder why Josh Simmons was drafted. I found that interesting. But regardless, it does make it tough for these guys. And I'll use Xavier Restrepo as the example. Guy led Miami in career and catches and yards. They've had good receivers come out of there. He runs the 40 over 4.8. And he ran it as pro day. Had he not ran it and said, I just let the film speak for itself, which a lot of guys do, teams might have drafted him in the 2nd or 3rd round. Then all of a sudden got the training camp and go, man, this dude is slow. Why do we spend a pick on that? That could have been dangerous. But you know what? The lesson of Xavier Restrepo, will probably be emanating around college football players and agents to say, you know what? You're not so great at the 40. Let's just not run it. Let's not run it. Because we saw a lot of that this year. Austin Gente, that the Raiders took a bet on, didn't run at the combine, didn't run at the pro day, didn't run a lot. Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't the year before. And allegedly, teams told him not to do it because the game tape will speak for itself. You wouldn't think that'd be the case. So you'd want to find out these players and how fast they are and like how good they are. Yeah, it depends on your growing recommendations. Bo Perbula, that's playing for Missouri, as I mentioned, he transferred from Penn State. Although the coach, which usually you don't get glowing recommendations from your previous stop, but he will there because James Franklin liked him. So they'll probably get good reviews on him. But yes, it makes it tough for NFL teams trying to find out what's real and what's fake. But is this player good or bad? It makes their job so much tougher. And when guys are cherry picking what they're doing at the combine or at their pro day, you don't know what they're doing. Carrington Harrison at Churchville Downs. He's wearing the fedora tomorrow. Any more pictures from Steve out tomorrow, maybe?
That's a question for our social media team. But I'm betting he might post some.
Hopefully so. Carrington looking good. Rob Brenton, you have a good weekend, my friend. Enjoy your soccer and dark beer this weekend. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to hearing Josh Vernier. Royals on Deck show. Again, the Royals 3 in Baltimore. This team is red hot. They've won 9 of 10. Best ERA, 3 shutouts. All this in the last 10 games. Oh, by the way, hitting a second major league best, .288 in that streak. I'm Jay Binkley. Good night, everybody. Have a good weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.